40 people rescued two horses stuck in the mud in Lebanon, Connecticut.
Ooh.
This has become a national news story. On the phone right now, Lieutenant Kojo Ensia. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing
good
today?
Morning.
Hey, congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you, thank you. I can say it was not possible without 40-plus people being able to effect a rescue like this.
So are you on hands-free, or what are we dealing with here?
I have my AirPods in, yep.
Oh, okay. Is there any chance we can take you off of that, or are you in the middle of something?
Yep. Nope, hold on. Can you guys hear me okay now?
It's way better
there
now,
you
thanks.
Are. Yeah, it's your beautiful voice.
Perfect.
Thanks. All right, so you get the call, you go out, and what do you find?
Yeah, so originally the call had come through our 7-digit routine line through the fire station, and Chief and the captain went out to the scene, and what they had found was they found two horses that had been stuck in the mud for approximately about 5 hours, and the tricky part of the whole situation was that both the horses were located on a dirt road. It's an old farm road. It's a cut through in town, North Street. And then from that point on, off that old farm road, they were about 3/4 of a mile through a small little ravine into the woods. And then about probably another 50 yards into a swamp.
Oh, so you couldn't get any equipment out there to them?
No.
Wow.
That's a pretty far way for a horse to wander off.
Seriously.
So it's actually where they're pastured. It's in the grand scheme of things, it's actually not as – it is a long way, but, like, where they're pastured, like, as the crow flies, it's not as far from where they normally do reside.
Okay. So one gets stuck, and then the other one's looking for that one, and that one got stuck.
Here we do over here.
And that,
yep.
And yeah. That one got stuck. Yep.
Gotcha. Look.
Right. I'll help you out. Ah, damn it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so what's the plan at that point?
So the plan was right off the – so in typical Lebanon fashion, we've actually dealt with a similar issue about a couple years ago with a horse stuck. And we were able to kind of – it was a horse stuck inside of a barn. So fortunately, we were able to do it with the assistance of our manpower that we had on scene. But somebody had actually made a note to us that next time you should call DART, which is the Durham Animal Rescue Team. And they're a technical rescue team out of Durham, Connecticut, and they specialize in getting large animals out of the mud. So right when we got into this situation, we contacted Valley Shore, which is the dispatch center for Middlesex County in the southern end of the state, and they got DART, and they were dispatched right off the rip because we knew we were going to need their expertise, and we knew we were going to need their equipment.
All right, so what do you need? You need, like, the fire hoses?
Right.
You need the
hoist? No, they come with a lot of – they come with nylon straps, and basically they use these nylon straps, and they use this big plastic. It's almost like the size of a 4x8 sheet of plywood, but it's a plastic skid. And what they do is you feed the straps under the horses, and by using manpower, we gently pull the horse and allow it to free. We kind of free one leg at a time.
Okay.
And then we essentially almost roll the horse on that plastic skid.
Oh, wow.
And then we're able to pull the horse out. Normally, a lot of this stuff is done with mechanical winches, but we couldn't get any access of equipment.
Do you have to give the horse something so it doesn't get too freaky?
So unfortunately, we did call for the vet. That's the general practice. But the horses at this point had been in there for almost 6 hours.
So
the horses
exhausted?
Were run down. They were tired.
Okay.
Yeah. So you lucked out.
So normally, like, in situations like this where the horse is just stuck and they still have all their energy, you always, any type of animal incident, we always want to make sure that we request the vet. And with the situation, we requested our first vet, who was caught up on another emergency, so we had to locate another vet to come out. But like I said, the horses were so run down and they were so tired that they weren't really giving us much of a – they weren't really being too aggressive given
the
situation.
It's funny. You think of firefighters as firefighters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting people out of mangled cars.
Yeah, and burning buildings.
But anytime something, like whether something gets stuck on someone's wiener, or they get their head stuck in a fence, you know, it's like, who do we call? We call the fire department. They will figure out how to do it.
Yeah. When someone gets something stuck in their wiener, the firemen should still get to hit it with the hose.
Right.
And it's funny, that you guys kind of bring that up, because now the fire service, we're in a very different time where we, you know, for years, the fire service, we've always said we're an all-hazards fire department, and now we're at the point in time where when people have a problem, it doesn't matter what that problem is, they call the fire department.
Really?
It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I've been a volunteer firefighter in Lebanon for almost eight and a half, almost close to 9 years now. I'm a career firefighter somewhere else. And, I mean, we've had in Lebanon, we've helped people set up their Wi-Fi. We've helped people connect their TVs.
Design dinner.
This is the emergency.
Yeah. Is this the fire department getting a spinning beach ball on my laptop?
Should we have Chinese or Italian tonight?
Why the hell am I paying a tech? I could just call you guys.
Really?
I can't open this pickle jar.
Exactly. And that's just – people associate firefighters with problem solvers. So, naturally, we've become plumbers. We've become – electricians, we've become technical support, we've become mechanics. Like, you know, we do lockouts on cars. There's people that call and they bring they're like, oh, am I cool? You know, we'll sometimes be out on the road and somebody will flag us down and say, hey, can you guys jumpstart my car? And the best part about the fire department is we have no problem doing
nice.
Whatever people need, we are more than happy to help them.
Have you gotten the stereotypical cat up in a tree?
Yes, we have gotten the cat up in the tree. Yeah, the reality of it is, I mean, people always say it long enough, the cat's going to come down.
Yeah, when it's hungry.
But we've gotten the stereotypical cat inside of a tree, but it's cool. I mean,
where would you put this double horse rescue on the list of oddities? All the things you've seen in 9 years as a volunteer there?
I would probably say I'd put this. This probably ranks probably in the top five.
Top five?
Oh. What would be in the top three?
You find any kids in a gravel machine, but that box there?
I mean, I've done some pretty interesting stuff. I mean, I've taken people out of houses, out of their windows, people who just haven't been able to get out of their houses, windows.
The Winnie the Pooh thing, yep.
You know, but I will say, like, the funny thing for me, and kind of like what everybody's brought up and called me about with the horses, is that everybody knows I don't mess with animals that are larger than me.
Gotcha.
So when everybody found out like that I was kind of in charge of the operation, people were like, what was going through your mind? And I told everybody from the animal rescue team, I said, look, like, you guys are the animal experts. I don't go near animals that are larger than me. I'm not going to touch the horse. I don't want to be near it. And they just started laughing.
Guess what? How you doing it?
Yep. Was one a male and one a female? And if so, was the female furious that the male didn't use the nav and that's how they got there?
No, they were both male horses, and they were each anywhere between 1,200 to 1,600 pounds. They were
massive. Damn.
Man. Damn.
They were to lose weight.
Oh, that is so much weight.
They're big horses.
And because I was like, because I had said to a couple of the rescuers, I was like, all right, like, how heavy can these things be? Like 500-600 pounds? They're like, no, this one's 1,200 and that one's almost 1,500 pounds.
Right. Wow, they're usually around 1,000.
Plus the wagon they were pulling. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you did it without injury to the horses is amazing, without like messing up their legs.
And I am happy to report that both animals, within an hour of being pulled out of the mud, both animals, after being evaluated from the vet, were able to walk out under their own power.
Unreal.
And they walked right back into the same.
This was fun.
I know.
We don't get a lot of attention.
I would like to give a very, very shameless plug to a lot of there's a couple key instrumental people. We had two local country boys from Lebanon who provided the military the deuce and a half, the 6x6. And that was how we were going to.
A deuce and a half?
Wow, I had it earlier.
I love country people.
Tells me at 5:30.
And kind of the funny part is once the captain and the chief realized what we were in, they just got in our service vehicle and they just drove to the guy's house and they're like, hey, we're going to need your deuce and a half. And he said, perfect, I'll get the boys together.
Nice.
That's great.
And then I'd also like to give another shout out to the Durham Animal Rescue Team. And like I said, they're a specialized technical rescue team. And kind of the crazy part is that they function all on donations. So I wanted to say that if anybody ever looking for a cause to donate, they're 100% more than deserving. They function on all donations, and I mean they go all over the state of Connecticut. They're more than happy if you contact the dispatch center. They will come out and they will do whatever you need to assist you with getting any. And that could be as simple as, you know, you have a horse trailer get into a car accident and you need the trailer to get cut open. They are more than happy to come out.
Nice. Wow,
that's great.
Or can you tap them?
Yeah, I know.
Was there any, so you have 40 people on site. Was there any point where you needed a bunch of people in line on a strap, pulling the strap?
Yeah, so at the height of it, you could see in one of the pictures, we had about 20 people pulling the biggest horse up the hill.
That's amazing.
What'd you attach it to, though, on the horse? Would you wrap it around?
It's attached, so... Yeah, it's attached to that plastic skid, and then the horse is strapped to the skid.
So I was going to say, you can't pull it by its head. You're like a giraffe.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
This is why we're not in charge of these operations.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And it was quite a beautiful scene to see just, you know, 20 people, everybody, you know, firefighters, farmhands, country boys and girls, like everybody, people that you've never even met before. Everybody's pulling that rope hand over hand, pulling this massive horse up a slope that's 1,200 pounds.
Wow. That's incredible.
Man.
That's the beautiful thing about Lebanon, Connecticut, is that people, like, we are the epitome of neighbors helping neighbors, is that, you know, you get your truck stuck, you call your buddy, he's going to bring 10 guys over. You call your buddy and say your horse is stuck, 40 people are going to show up.
That's right.
That's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about Lebanon, Connecticut.
Great community.
Hold on, we have Farmer Dan on the phone.
Farmer
here.
Dan.
Does he have something to add? No, not at all. Okay.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you, and congratulations to you and everyone on scene, the whole community. It's a great story.
It really is. Happy ending.
Happy ending.
I appreciate you guys having me, and it really is. It's a true – sometimes, you know, especially nowadays, I think we lose sight of what it means to be a community with everything going on in the world. But I mean, this is one of those things that kind of restores your faith in, you know, that small town living. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you don't know somebody or you've never talked to somebody, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be more than willing to help you when you get yourself jammed up. And like I said, that's a beautiful thing about our small town.
Awesome, man.
Somebody on the Chaz and AJ Twitch chat room has a question.
Yeah. Tribe member would like to know, Lieutenant, if you can help them, their lawnmower will not start.
Oh yeah.
tell them if they call 911, we have no choice but to go out.
Oh, no!
I should not have said that.
Gotcha.
You're going to regret saying that.
Oh, no.
All right, Lieutenant Encia, thanks for coming on. Congratulations to you and everybody involved. And thanks for being a volunteer for, you know, 9 years in Lebanon. Good stuff, man. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Tremendous work.
All right.
Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.